Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, and welcome back. I'm Father Edward Looney. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Green Bay, an author of several Marian devotional works, a Marian theologian, and the president of the Mariological Society of America. And this is the commentary series on the Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Today is day 5, and we'll be covering part 1, chapter 4, in the TAN edition of the book, covering the words, "To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve." But before we jump into the treasures found in this wonderful work, let us begin with a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord our God, you have given us Mary to be our mother and to be our intercessor. We are children of Adam and Eve. We are fallen, but yet we are forgiven through baptism. Forgiven through reconciliation. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, except for Mary, who you chose to preserve from original sin. In the temptations that we face in our life, may we turn to Our Lady. May we receive help from her. May she obtain for us grace from God to overcome sin and to win the battle against temptation. May Our Lady's prayers be strong against the evil one. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last time, when we were together, we discussed finding Our Lady in the Scriptures, and just kind of an attentiveness we should have in our reading of the Glories of Mary to see what scripture passages he's quoting or drawing our attention to, and maybe to expand our biblical knowledge and also the perception of Mary within the Old Testament as well. Today, we are covering chapter 4 of the Glories of Mary. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. And I'd like to call this episode, this reflection, Mary's help against temptation. I think it's fitting that as we look at Mary and this prayer, to thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. Well, immediately what that should evoke for us is this reality of Mary being the new Eve. Now, this is a very beautiful title of Our Lady. And in the letters of St. Paul, St. Paul makes reference to Jesus being the new Adam. We see this in the Gospels as well, kind of how Jesus has come to fulfill the old, so he is the new. So there are times in which we would reference Jesus as the new Moses, for example, especially in that Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, when he summarizes the two great commandments, love of God and love of neighbor, that he's really acting as the new Moses. He is leading a people in Exodus into freedom in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we could call Jesus the new Noah. He sometimes refers to himself as the new Jonah. That just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so too must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth? So he calls upon Old Testament references, and we see how he is the fulfillment, how he is the new that we are able to reflect upon. So Mary is the new Eve. Now, in the church and in our theology, in our theological tradition, this is a very interesting title of Our Lady, the new Eve, because it emerges within the first 100 years of the church. In the writings of Justin Martyr, Tertullian, Irenaeus of Lyon, they all are writing about Mary as new Eve. Now, what is interesting here, those three figures that I just referenced, they're from different parts of the world. It's not like they came together like I do as the president of the Mariological Society of America, and that we have our annual conference. And here are a bunch of scholars. And so maybe I hear one of the speakers speak about a certain topic, and then that person forms me, and I begin talking about that topic in a very similar way as they have, because they have shaped and changed or transformed my way of thinking, my perception, my understanding of that topic. So it's not like Tertullian, Irenaeus, and Justin Martyr were all in the same place talking about Mary as the new Eve. So what that tells us is that it's a received tradition, that they have heard this, it's being talked about all within Christianity, all throughout the world. And so Mary is the new Eve. How does she get this title? Now, the writings of Saint Irenaeus, probably you're familiar with Our Lady Undoer of Knots, this favorite devotion to Mary of Pope Francis. Well, when we try to look at that devotion and look at a theological understanding of Mary untying the knots, well, St. Irenaeus wrote about it in his treatise Against the Heresies. He said that just as disobedience was brought into the world by Eve, Mary's fiat, her yes, her obedience undoes the knot of Eve's disobedience. Mary's obedience to God undoes Eve's disobedience. So I think it's quite natural for us to think of Our Lady as a helper against temptation. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. We are the banished children of Eve, but we're crying to you because you are the new Eve. Now, Mary is without sin. And because Mary is without sin, it means that she has a greater efficacy in her prayers before God. But then again, we hold her up as a model. We look at Mary's sinlessness, her charity, her perfect charity. And we look at how we lack charity in the conversations that we have. And so maybe we ask Our Lady to intercede. Oh, Mary, you who are always charitable in thought, word, and deed, pray for me so that I might exercise charity in my life too. Mary's help against temptation, her sinlessness. Well, she was all pure. And so a lot of individuals who might struggle with purity or with chastity, well, Mary can help you. She intercedes. There's a very popular devotion, praying three Hail Marys. Those three Hail Marys are to pray for purity of mind, body, and soul or heart. But to pray, asking Our Lady to obtain that grace of purity. She attained it in her life. God did that for her by preserving her from original sin. And so now we ask her to help us in these moments of temptation that we might face in our life. Maybe just pause for a second and think about, has there been a moment in my life where I called upon Our Lady in the midst of temptation and that temptation went away, that an impure thought dissipated. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, again, one of my favorite Marian writing saints. Bernard of Clairvaux, he talks about calling upon Mary. Look up to the star, call out to Mary. If you are assailed by the temptations of this world, look up to the star, call out to Mary. If you are sinking, look up to the star, call out to Mary, he says. He's writing in the 12th century of the church. So when we talk about Mary's help against temptation, this isn't something that priests in the last 50 years came up with. No, no. The church has been talking about this for centuries after centuries. People have turned to Mary's intercession, especially in their struggle with sin. There's a beautiful Marian antiphon. It says, "Loving Mother of the Redeemer, Gate of Heaven, Star of the Sea, assist your people who have fallen, yet strive to rise again." That's who Mary is. She's going to assist God's fallen people so that they might rise from their sin, that they might choose virtue again. Saint Alphonsus Liguori in The Glories of Mary tells us that Mary terrifies the devils. And he gives us clear examples and anecdotes to support this notion that Mary helps us against temptation. So whatever sin you're struggling with right now, ask Mary to pray for you. Again, go back to this Champion Wisconsin apparition. Our Lady says, "I am the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners." What that means is that she is praying for you and me. Mary is praying for my conversion from the sin that I keep falling into. She is our helper, and she's ready to obtain that help. She can only do so if we call upon her. So many people have found help from Our Lady. By praying the rosary daily, people have overcome certain sins. I know one individual who says when they started praying 15 or 20 decades of the rosary a day, they began to notice their growth in holiness, but also the diminishment of sin in their life. Devotion to Mary can be a remedy. Assist your people who have fallen yet strive again. That's what she does. Because to thee, O Blessed Lady, do we cry as the poor banished children of Eve. And that brings us to the end of day 5 in our study of the glories of Mary. Thank you so much for listening and joining me on this journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll be discussing chapter 5, and we'll be focusing on Mary as our advocate and our mediatrix. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you, and may Mary intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Glories of Mary and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.